There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be. It's better
over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Not accepting that's good enough. Not accepting that we've done a lot of good things. We got to win games, and that's the key. Raise the standard, raise the expectation. I'm not going to stand here and talk about we did good things, but finish the good things. Finish some of those great opportunities, put in the back of the net. That's what we're here for. Don't accept what went on in Detroit is okay. Okay hockey is not good enough.
Lindy Ruff yesterday, and Lindy Ruff probably in that tone, maybe just a little more reserved today, but it's never going to change how he feels. He is one that puts the emotion out in front for all to see. It's part of his leadership makeup. And the hope now is on this game night, Sabres and Senators tonight, that it does, in fact, resonate with a few more players to get over the hump, which is currently a three-game losing streak.
And it's a very small margin, Duffer. When you look at the last two games, one-goal games. So now the Sabres are 0-2-1 this year in one-goal games. And if you flip two of those, like the Pittsburgh game where you lose in overtime, where you have a lead, you lose it late, and then Crosby scores in overtime, or you flip maybe the Detroit game, and you're 2-1 in one goal game. And then you go through like that for the year, and you end up with being on the better side of those tightly contested games. It makes a difference. But right now, you know, are saying, we gave up a little too much in the Islander games and maybe a little too, you know, I don't want to call it casual, but you give up a couple of power play goals to Detroit. So, you know, that has to be better. The penalty kill is a big problem, but it makes a difference. And now you get yourself a three-game losing streak because two of those games were one-goal game where they were games to be had. They were games to have won. And that's why Lindy Ruff is saying, it's not good enough that, hey, you know what, we scored another shorthanded goal. And 5-on-5, we didn't give up much. And, you know, we had some good looks. No, it's not good enough. You got to win games. And these one-goal games are very important.
Recognizing that each person, let alone athlete, is different in how they will assess, process, reevaluate, and then speak about an individual and or team performance. What is the, and this has all evolved over time, I think people are more thoughtful and conscious of what they say to a certain extent, with, you know, maybe less inflammatory comments. What I'm getting at is, and ironically, Ryan O'Reilly.
I have to be better?
Well, he called last night, like, maybe the worst performance of his career. And that was Nashville against LA. So it is kind of ironic that this kind of bleeds into where I'm going here. But when the coach's message is like, we can't be sitting here talking about, hey, we did this right, we did this well, and okay is not okay. I guess what I'm getting at is what should post-game reaction sound like if they lose? Like, do you have to stop yourself? Like, you don't want to be 100% negative all the time.
You can't.
Right?
You can't.
So, if you're presented with a question from a reporter, you presumably can't just say, it doesn't matter, we sucked. It doesn't matter, we sucked. Right? Like, it's probably good for you to give context, but I think Lindy's right. Like, I think players kind of have to maybe stop themselves from articulating the good things that happened in a game after a loss. Like, at some point, you have to only look at the end result. Is that right?
Yeah, and that's why the old phrase, a goalie wishes they had that one back, doesn't matter. Because
Correct.
You got to make the save. Yeah. And if you get beat, you get beat. Doesn't matter if it was a 3-on-0 tic-tac-toe and all over again and they tap it in.
Like, because you know you could stop it.
There's always a way.
Yes.
There's always a way. So that's the big thing. But look, all of us, and I'm using us as also people that are fans and of other teams, other sports or whatnot, we watch... Let's see the Bills. We watch them play on Sunday. Mm-hmm. Then we focus on that one game until their next game. But inside that locker room, inside that organization, there's many days in between games. Same thing here. They lost to Detroit last Saturday. Well, they had Sunday. They had Monday. Now they're getting ready. They have days of practice, days of meetings, communication, conversations about things. So one day you're not going to be happy with how things are going. You may lash out. May say, you know what? This is not acceptable. I don't want to hear about the positive. I want to win. And wins is all that matter. And then the next day, it may be a different story. Because now you're in a different frame of mind. You're focusing on something different, which may be, hey, let's focus on tonight's game. It's the Ottawa Senators. It's a good team. And it's a big matchup, again, mm-hmm. inside your division. So there's that. But what speaks highly more than anything out of this is sometimes... the changes that are made to the lineup or the roster personnel or the lines, right? We saw Dylan Cousins go from center to the wing. And then halfway in that game, we saw him go back to the wing and all of a sudden have Paterka and Quinn with him. Started the game in Detroit with Paterka and Quinn. It changed. It became something else. That speaks more to where Lindy Ruff is right now, trying to find the right recipe to win games.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter if you had a couple of good shifts. Did it create enough? Did it translate into this is going to win us a game? I think that's what it comes down to right now.
Do you know why this talking point is top of mind for me? And I'm actually kind of surprised that... Well, not surprised. I guess I'm thankful that Lindy said what he said yesterday because it tied in with something I heard on Saturday night, which... It's exactly the point he's trying to make. And this is not because of the individual that said it or the way he said it or the fact he said it. But after our post game on Saturday, I walked away thinking, I appreciate glass half full.
Yeah.
But when Bo Byram said, I mean, as far as back-to-back games that we've lost, this was the best one we've played.
Which is a fair assessment.
Right. But I'm like...
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
And so Lindy's points yesterday were kind of a reinforcement of it doesn't matter. Not that it was directed at any player, right? Like, it's just... I'm fascinated by all of this because you just said it's important and right to pick a day to send a message and then go back to work and not be super negative. You have to have the bar and then there's other ways to make sure you continue to get to the bar or the standard,
yes.
as Lindy has talked about,
and,
right?
And so what, and you're right, and what is that search for the bar, mm-hmm. the standard, is, okay, well, you know what, Connor Clifton didn't have the best of games against the New York Islanders, and it's in a back-to-back situation, mm-hmm. so you know what, we're going to put Bryson in against Detroit. Bryson looked pretty decent. We're going to have him here in a few minutes on Sabres Live, and we'll talk to Jacob Bryson about that. But, you know, so Bryson comes in. Now, you show up today to watch morning skate, and you're like, okay, what is that going to look like? Is Benson going to be in? If he gets in, who comes out? What's happening? And at the end of practice, at the one end, you've got Obi Kubel Samuelson and Joki Aho doing extra. Mm-hmm. So we don't have confirmation on Lindy Ruff as to what is the lineup going to look like tonight. But from our experience, and you know, when guys are bag skated at the end of the morning skate, and the way that this was happening, tells me that those are the three that are out. So it would seem to me like Benson will join the group and will be playing tonight, unless something major happened after and Lindy talked to him and the doctors. But it mm-hmm. seems to me like he's ready. It seems to me like Obi Kubel will be out. It seems to me like major changes on the blue line for tonight's game, trying to find the right energy, the right solution. Mm-hmm. It seems like Joki Aho and Samuelson will be out, which means that Clifton will return and Dennis Gilbert would come back into the lineup. So now you'd have Bryson and Gilbert, who have only played one game each.
Yep.
And the game Gilbert played was with seven defensemen. Mm-hmm. So you're looking at the right approach to win a game, not to win five games, not to say, hey, we got tonight, and then what's the next game? No.
Right.
How do you win tonight?
Well,
and that's the difference.
And tonight, when you look at the calendar, and I mentioned this last week, they're in this run here of week after week after week where they have three games, which yeah. probably sounds normal, but sometimes, and trust me when I say, wait till you start seeing like December and March, specifically March.
Four.
Like there's
four.
A lot of fours. Four. Holy cow. But anyway, this week it's tonight, then it's in New York to take on the Rangers on Thursday, then it's home for a matinee against, because you love that word, on Saturday against Calgary, and then another
9:30 in the morning?
Another matinee on Monday of next week, which is Veterans Day, as the Sabres will then be taking on the Canadiens. Great to have Jacob Bryson with us as we get set for Sabres and Sens tonight. How did you feel about your season debut in Detroit?
I thought pretty good. You know, it's always tough getting back in the lineup after a few months of not playing, but I thought I just kept it simple, and I thought I was overall had a pretty good game defensively, and yeah.
What's harder? Because I almost feel like that's my role as a backup goaltender, where
yeah.
you don't play for a while, then you got to get thrown in. The first 5 minutes harder, or later in the game where the lungs kind of go away? What was harder to adjust?
I think the first 5 minutes yeah. as a player. I mean, it could be for a goalie too, but I just think, you know, kind of just getting back into it, into, you know, the frame of game mindset. Mm-hmm. I feel like I keep in good shape doing those skates when they're playing and stuff. So
we used to
and working
the,
out
the Tour de France.
Skates.
We used to get like the you know the yellow jersey or whatever to all the guys on the bike and doing the skate after. So
yeah, exactly.
You're in great shape for that.
Yeah. So, so as the game went on, I feel like I felt better and better, and I feel like the more games you play, the more comfortable you'll be.
Was there a difference in structure, system, style, given that this was your first game under Lindy?
Yeah, I think it's a little different because it was a back-to-back also. You know, our game plan was kind of keep it simple, eliminate any mistakes we can, and, you know, it was a low-scoring game, and that's kind of what we wanted. They obviously had two special teams goals, but other than that, it was a 0-0 game, 5-5, and I think that's kind of what we were aiming for in those back-to-back games. You know, when guys are tired and maybe don't have the best legs, it's keep it simple and eliminate turnovers and mistakes, and you should have a pretty successful game.
Any changes that you made to, let's see, your sticks or your gear? You know, sometimes when you're missing 10, 11 games, you're kind of like start getting bored and you start using a different stick or you do something different. Any changes that you've made since the start of the year?
No, I haven't actually. I've kept the same stuff.
So you're normal. You're not weird like all of us.
No.
That changes everything.
I'm honestly pretty simple when it comes to gear. You know, I'm pretty easygoing, but I know there's
like
some
historically,
guys,
like you've used the same kind of brand since junior or what?
Yeah, I mean, college I was Bauer, and then I've kept with Bauer ever since. Obviously, and when I was in Roch, I had UCCM, so
yes.
That was the little stint
little
there.
AHL,
yeah, but I just Bauer.
Deal.
yeah, so kind of those two brands. Though. I've never really tested anything else.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, so now we looked at your numbers last year, 5-on-5, more goals that you're on the ice than goals against. So what's the focus for you in the game? Be strong defensively or try to provide some offense so you can balance the two?
I think a good way to put it is defense first. I feel like that's how our team is kind of, that's our mindset. If you play good defense, I feel like a lot of the offense comes from that.
Mm-hmm.
So if I take pride in, you know, creating turnovers and having a good stick in our D zone, then I think it always leads to offense. I feel like if you push for offense or something, you're going to give more up. So I think a defense first mindset is always the way to go. And then those chances and goals will just come on their own.
But it does feel like when you watch Dahlin and Byram and Power, mostly, like, there's a lot of let's join the offense. Let's be on the cycle. Let's even find ourselves in front of the net sometimes. Yeah. So is that an emphasis that you think is also part of the game plan?
Yeah, for sure. I feel like Lindy preaches that, you know, always having that fourth guy up in the rush. And when you get in the ozone and you end up at the net, you know, you can take your turn there and a forward will always fill for you. So we're kind of interchangeable, and it's nice being that way when you kind of can forget about your position a little bit if someone else is covering for you. And that's what, you know, we practice, and I feel like that's the best way to play. It's less thinking.
How is Brinley Sue Bryson?
She's doing well. She's almost 4 months now, and it's been good. Her sleeping's been good, and we haven't had any issues, so it's been awesome so far.
Nice. Is that like it would like the number one point of conversation amongst new dads and like the sleeping? How's your sleeping?
Yeah.
Because me, it's great. How did you guys do it? Is there shared tips when it comes to babies?
Yeah, I mean, we chat about it, all the, you know, new dads and a couple of guys that have older kids too. You know, there's, I feel like, you know, everyone goes through it though. Each baby's different, obviously, so we all have different patterns and different, you know, sleeping habits. So, but I think from what I've heard, everyone's been doing pretty well.
And nobody's taking the brunt of it. There's not one guy that always comes in, just bags under his eyes,
God. It's been pretty good. So what Lex and I do is she'll take over from, like, I'll take her any time up to, like, 10, 11 p.m., and then I usually get a full night's sleep. So it's, she does a good job, and I have a nice schedule, so I can't complain.
Okay, so what's your number one job? Because I remember, like, for me, it was burping. Like, I was the burp master. Whenever the baby didn't want to burp, any one of them, it was like, where are you? Come on over here. And then I was the one that got them to burp. Like, what's your, like, special touch?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it's hard to get my baby to burp. I know some are different, but it's a hard task, and I feel like we're kind of equal at it, so I wouldn't say that, but I feel like we kind of share 50-50 pretty good.
Okay.
There's nothing specific that, you know, I do or she does that we can't do, so it's we have a good thing going, and it's
for me, like, that was good, unless the burping turns into a little bit more messy, then I was like, oh, I got the wrong job here. But usually the burping was good.
Yeah.
That's the easy job.
Thank you for the update. Congratulations again to you and your family, and good luck tonight.
Perfect. Thank you, guys.
7 o'clock puck drop tonight. Reminder that there's a couple of afternoon games coming up, Saturday versus Calgary, and then on Monday it's Military Appreciation Day, and we have a 12:30 puck drop with Montreal here. Help us honor our active and retired service members. Visit sabres.com/tickets to purchase your seats today. So you mentioned, and thank you, Jacob, for joining us, you know, potential change here for sure on the blue line based on who was getting extra skating this morning in Samuelson and Joki Haru. And also, you're looking, we haven't talked at all about who they're up against tonight. It's an Ottawa team. So it's first look at the Senators. It's going to be UPL versus ULL, which is Linus Ullmark.
Is that an airport board?
That's, ULL? I believe so. It's
is YUL?
Uruguay. Probably.
I think YUL is Quebec City's airport. So that's why ULL.
The Ys are all in Canada. Yeah.
I think YUL. But anyway, ULL against UPL. So this is interesting.
But this Ottawa team scores a ton, Marty.
Yes,
they're,
they
do. They're top 10 in both offense and defense right now. They're coming off a shutout win of Seattle. What a week Seattle had. Blew out Montreal and then basically 18. Lost their offense the rest of the week in three games. So
you waste it all in one day. That's what happens, right? But you're right. Ottawa's really good offensively, and their power play is third in the league at 33%. Here's the little sidebar to that. They're 0-for-8 in the last two games.
Mm-hmm.
They're still at 33%, despite the fact that they're 0-for-8 the last three games. So they were, like, looking at almost 50% before that.
And they're 1-4 on the road, but they had a road trip out west where they had three games where they scored 12 times.
Yes.
And they only got one win out of it, and that
was
Vegas in Utah.
Well, the Vegas game really
hurt them. But it's just,
and, yeah.
it just speaks to their ability to score. And that has to be paramount. They are looking for more ways to win on the road here. And obviously, coming off a shutout win at home, and now with Ullmark back in goal, his most recent game was a narrow 2-1 loss to the Rangers last week. You know, this is a very... Look, they don't have Pinto, but when you look at their top six, you're going, holy cow, this looks like the Ottawa Senators the way they're supposed to look like. And remember, in recent years, we haven't seen Norris predominantly due to injury and to a certain extent Batherson at times as well, right? So this is pretty close to the kind of the full new look Senators, if you will, under Steve Staios and with Travis Green behind the bench.
The hottest Ottawa Senator is Adam Gaudette.
Yeah.
He's got 5 goals in the last 6 games. He's the center on the fourth line. So, but you look at their fourth line, McEwen, who's had success against the Sabres,
yep,
going back to the last few years. Nick Cousins, who's, you know, can bring a physicality to the line. So, but Gaudette has had 5 goals in the last 6 games. He is hot. Brady Tkachuk has gotten a point in every single game this year but one. That's how consistent Brady Tkachuk has been. There's always that debate. Who's the better of the Tkachuks? Matthew, Brady, Brady, Matthew. I think Matthew is better. But what we're seeing out of Brady Tkachuk this year has been very dominant and very consistent in the way that he's played. Tim Stützle, back to the kind of Tim Stützle that we think he can be. Last year, a little bit of a dip, but there was a lot of injuries in the roster, and it was different. And then last but not least, because I do believe that veteran players that understand the game and have a knowledge of what they're good at always have an impact on the game is Claude Giroux. He had 7 game point streak and then the last 2 games nothing, but he's always involved. And when you put him on the line with Norris and Batherson, they have been really good at as a line. So yeah, the Ottawa Senators right now have something going for them. And their losses, you mentioned, I think Forsberg was bad in one of them. Allmark, is 1 game back against Vegas, was just average. So their record is 6-5. I think they easily could be 8-3 right now.
Sabres would like to feel that same way, but as we said off the top, it doesn't matter. It's about results, and okay hockey is not okay. Just to punctuate Giroux, I mean, what a 3 years it's been for him as a Senator in the, you know, the sunset of his career, if you will, 154 points in 175 games and a point a game again this year. So it's been very impressive to watch.
The pride of Hearst, Ontario.
Yeah.
I always thought Hearst was closer to the border of Quebec, but then I looked at the map and I realized it's pretty far up north.
You know, when I didn't mean it, and that's why I didn't say Junior A. Remember when Bryson was on and we were talking equipment and I... Do you know why Junior popped out of my mouth, even though he's a college kid? Because he's from London.
Yes.
So you cannot separate. If you're
Canadian,
from London,
yeah,
you're from a junior mecca, right? So it's just popping in my head. But
everybody plays junior at some point in their career.
Well, that's the thing, before you get to college, of course. But anyway, it's interesting to look at both teams, just like it was interesting to look at Buffalo and Detroit a couple of times already, because these are the same 3 teams that we keep doing this dance with as to which one is going to take the lead.
Yep.
Which one is going to pull away from the pack and get to where, for the most part, none of the 3 have been in the last 7-plus years. So we mentioned briefly Allmark starting UPL for Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
Lindy has talked about goaltending here the last couple of days. You're coming off a 2-1 game against Detroit. It's not like goaltending killed you.
Nope.
But there's no one, including the goaltender, who would have liked the first goal, even though it was power play, right? And in a very unscientific way, and I actually haven't done the research.
Ooh.
But if you were to go back game by game through Buffalo's 12 games so far, there haven't been a lot of nights where the netminders have been in the 3 stars.
Well, that makes them...
And you know what I mean? Like, this is why I say it's unscientific, because even if your goalie was first, second, or third star in a loss, it would go back to our first point. Doesn't matter. They lost the game. Like, we need to be better, right? But you also would love to see that consistency where you have one of your goaltenders always being thought of as a star performer. And I think that's basically what Lindy was implying was, we need a little more from this position also as part of the group.
Well, we need bigger saves. That's what Lindy's quote was. And obviously he's not wrong. When they won the games, they gave up 2, they gave up 2, they gave up 3, but it was against the Red Wings where, Luukkonen was really good in that game. And it makes a difference. It makes a difference when you get the big saves, how you get the big saves. And even though Allmark is sitting here at a 902 save percentage, mm-hmm. well, 902 is still 10 clicks better than an 892 or, yeah. you know, an 893. And I think you wake up, if you're a Sabres goaltender right now, 316, 893, and 391, 878, and you think, just got to be better. I know the numbers have dropped down when it comes to the overall goaltending in the league, mm-hmm. but you still have to measure yourself to the rest of the league. And when in goal save above expectation, you're in, you know, 50 and 65 or whatnot, and when you look at the numbers, you're below the average, and your team goals against average, and your team save percentage is down, it's not just on goaltending. The PK's got to be better. You got to, you know, you got to defend stronger. But last line of defense is always where you look, and the goaltending has to make bigger saves at key moments in games.
So how does that impact Luukkonen at this point? Speaking of goaltending.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, he has a...
Right on cue.
He has a 262 and a 902. He's listening.
Yeah. Linus Allmark.
Linus is like crashing the party. The airport known as ULL is crashing the party.
Amazing.
This is
great
awesome.
To see you.
Have a good one, Linus.
Vezina winner, first-year senator, Linus Allmark.
Yes, absolutely. And somebody that the Sabres put a lot of time into developing, and, you know, it didn't work out, and there was reasons for it, and, you know,
I wouldn't say it didn't work out. He chose to go elsewhere.
Well, exactly. It didn't work out long-term, I'm saying. Like, it worked out. He played well, and he chose to go elsewhere, and Boston was a really good, attractive place to go for a goaltender, and it worked out for him. Won a Vezina, and now earned himself a really nice contract with Ottawa. But, so you'd say, how does that change things for UPL?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's about you have to be mentally sharp every moment of the game. It cannot happen where the first goal in Detroit, Larkin's got the puck on the side and you have a mental little moment where, mm-hmm. hey, he's not going to shoot from there. There's a turnover. You have to be ready at all times. Mm-hmm. And so maybe that's not the case for the next 70 games, right? Because there's moments in the season where, hey, it comes easy, and mentally you kind of roll with it, and it works. But right now, it's not coming easy. Right now, it's coming with a bit of a challenge for everybody, but as a goalie, you have to be that extra sharp at all times.
All right, quick break, and obviously lots to get to when we come back. It is a Sabres game night. Ottawa's in town, 11 in the NHL in total. We're back after this.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Sabres home tonight. Ottawa is in and throughout the month of November. Lung cancer awareness. From Roswell Park, they're bringing awareness to lung cancer screening. And you can visit the Roswell team on the 100 level of KeyBank Center during each Sabres home game this month. Breathe easier with early detection. Find out if lung cancer screening is right for you at roswellpark.org/Eddie. That's E-D-D-Y. We continue.
You know how you always like have that look from the office at the Sabres office, the corner there, yep. And you see people kind of go on the stop sign. And I just saw somebody just roll right through a red light there at Washington whatnot. So, that was.
You know what else I discovered today?
That was pretty scary because there's a car coming.
Now that we're on Random Thoughts. I mean, I've known this because I've driven it a million times. You ever drive down Exchange Street into Larkinville?
Yes.
You ever realize that there's not a single stop sign from the ballpark all the way to Larkinville?
You could go a little fast.
I'm like, what happens here late at night?
Yeah.
That's a quarter mile race. It's a long, long stretch. I know. It's city speed limit's 30 miles an hour. And I'm like, it's double wide, no stop signs, and dare I say, perfectly smooth.
That's made just for that.
So here's
a safe spot for it.
May the Sabres drive down Exchange
without
for the rest of
sign.
The season.
No speed bump and no stop
exactly.
sign. Let's go.
Yes, and by the way, just promoting lung cancer awareness throughout this month. This is our first Sabres Live since Friday, and when we were involved in Hockey Fights Cancer Night, and I just want to thank everybody that engaged with us in person, on social, online, through any many number of different fundraising mechanisms, and from a personal standpoint, supporting my friend Emily and her battle. There's a link to our video about that and a link to her GoFundMe, which is on my Instagram page at Duffer Sabres. So, but thank you for the response to that. It's always incredibly kind of people to reach out and feel what we were trying to share very naturally, which occurs every year during our Hockey Fights Cancer Night.
Yeah, and look, there's many different opportunities throughout the year to support different charities, people, and so Hockey Fights Cancer is kind of the start of that, I feel, and then there's other things throughout the year. Yeah. You know, we're going to roll into Thanksgiving and then the Christmas and the holiday season, so we will be the alumni out in, the Western New York to be able to help, and we do our toy and food drive, and there's so much stuff that you can help with at this time of year if you can. And if you're someone that needs the help, don't feel like ashamed of asking for the help or receiving the help, because there's people that are willing to help. So that's always good on both ends.
And to anybody that's helping someone do their civic duty today, i.e. taking someone to the polls to help them vote, thank you for that. It is a very, very important day, as it always is every 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
So the Sabres lineup, presumably with Paterka back on the Thompson line with Tuck. The McLeod line stays intact. It certainly looks like the Krebs line with Malenstein and Lafferty stays intact.
Yes.
And it certainly feels like Zach Benson is going to make his way back in, and if so, would presumably play with Cousins and Quinn.
Mm-hmm.
If that is the course of action, you're expecting then that a transaction has to happen to make the roster align with NHL standards by 5 o'clock.
Yeah, they need to have 23 players on the roster, not one too many. And right now, they already were at 23, and Benson was on the injured reserve list. So obviously, if you activate Benson from IR, you're going to need to make a roster transaction. The options that you have, really, and I look, from watching Morning Skate today, we expect and anticipate Joki Aryu and Samuelsson not to play tonight. Well, they're not moving on from Samuelsson or Joki Aryu in any way, shape, or form. They're also not moving on from Nick Obi-Kubel. So those three would have to go through waivers or being traded. That's not happening. So the only option left, unless somebody becomes injured and is nursing something that you can say, or ill, and you can put him on IR, you know, that would mean that the only other option would be to have Jiří Kulik go down to Rochester. And when Lindy Ruff talked about Kulik this morning after the morning skate, he kind of talked about, hey, this is the type of player to continue developing, needs to get his reps in, needs to get his power play reps in, his five-on-five offensive zone starts, and all of it. It almost sounded and felt like Lindy was mentioning, like, hey, you know what? Like, this is a guy that right now doesn't have that opportunity in Buffalo, but would have that opportunity in Rochester. So we'll have to see. Obviously, nothing has to be announced until right around 5 o'clock this afternoon when it comes to rosters and, you know, for the cap compliances and all of that. So there doesn't need to be anything done right this second. But I would anticipate a roster move would be made, and Jiří Kulik to Rochester makes the most sense where the Sabres are right now.
One thing that actually came up very early this season, and I think, you know, in the total bigger picture still comes up, was missed shots. Now it's more, you know, it might be flipped to the extent of, like, you know, in certain situations, Lindy wants to see, you know, more urgency, more ability to finish in high-pressure situations, right? So whether those end up resulting in a goaltender making a save or, you know, shot attempt, block shot, what have you. I wanted to ask you, I've been wanting to ask you for a while, but now there's a more reasonable sample size, so maybe it's more pertinent. Have you given much thought to missed shots and what people are making of the fact that the Sabres have been kind of high on the list of missed shots? Or are you looking at something different, like team shooting percentage, which is lower middle of the pack in the NHL right now? Better than what it used to be at their worst years, not as good as what we had seen at times in the last couple of years, and a long ways away from the premier shooting team in the NHL right now, which, no surprise, is the number one team in the NHL, which is the Winnipeg Jets. They're shooting at an unsustainable 15.2% right now.
The opposition's goaltender has an 85 save percentage on average.
Amazing, isn't
That's
it?
That's crazy.
It's crazy. It'll... maybe it won't regress as much because you keep talking about how save percentage is diminishing. So maybe the league leaders this year will be around 13%, right?
Even 13%,
but,
that's high.
But it is, yeah, it is very high. But the Sabres are around 10, and I'm wondering why you think it is around 10%. Well, is it goaltending? Is it missed shots? Is it shots blocked? Is it
missed shots are a big part of that. And there's two ways to look at missed shots. And I think one of the things that has been the focus of the Sabres since the start of training camp is getting to the front of the net. Go to the front of the net, stop at the front of the net. Well, if you're trying to create a shot on net with players that have to start wiring themselves, as I'm going to go to the net because the puck's going to be there. But the puck is off the glass and around, and then you're like, oh, I got to go back on the back check. It's frustrating for players like this. So that's one a negative part of a missed shot. I think when you're cycling and you're coming up around the circles, right, and you're coming high in the zone and you're shooting it on net and you want guys to drive the net and have rebounds, that puck has to hit the net. You're probably not going to score from there, but it has to hit the net because you've got guys that are, their mindset has to be, I got to go to the net and the puck will be there. That's one. Now, if you got Thompson coming down the wing, Tuck coming down the wing, Dahlin attacking the net, and he's one-on-one with the goalie, and they miss the net, that doesn't bother me as much. Because you're trying to score. Like, what's... if I hit the goalie in the chest, it's kind of like a missed shot. I'm trying to pick a corner. I have the time and the space, and I'm one-on-one with the goalie. Let's make that happen. But situation where you're spending 20, 30 seconds in the offensive zone, you're cycling, you're doing a high rotation, you get it on net. If it misses the net, it kills your offense. It just kills it. So that is the part that bothers me right now.
So how does it improve, and whom is it falling on at this point in time?
I think it improves if you and I are on the same line. I'm like, hey, I'm going to the net. Hit the net. Because I'm not going to go there. I have to go to the corner now every time, and then you'll hit the net. I won't be there. Come on, let's go. I think that conversation has to be there. I think we're at the point now where you have to hold somebody else responsible, too, for certain things. You can't just look at you. You have to look at our line. our unit? How do I make you better? How do I, you know, and that is not being rude. That's not being selfish. That's not being disrespectful. That's being, hey, I'm working my butt off to get to the front of the net.
Yeah.
Your job's to hit the net. If I'm not there and you hit the net, then yell at me. Say, Marty, be up front. Be ready. I got the puck to the net. Where were you? Like, we have to be able to have that report as line mates to be able to move forward.
So, again...
Where's the report?
No, it's more just like, how much pressure is there on the Cousins line, again, coming into this?
Tons of pressure. And now tons of pressure would be added on Zach Benson to say he would be
sliding. Yeah, like, does that make it less? Like, does it give you a fresher start, a cleaner slate, so to speak? Does it make you dwell less on what has maybe happened recently and be more excited, or as excited as you should be, to have a new line mate who is an energy type?
You'd be excited. You'd be excited to have Benson on your line, but who are we to believe, and really, who are we kidding, to think that Benson, a 19-year-old in his second year in the National Hockey League, mm-hmm. is going to go out there and pull Cousins and Quinn on his back and say, right. come on in and let's go, and I'm going to show you how it's done. Mm-hmm. Like, Benson's a really nice player. Mm-hmm. Benson works hard.
Yep.
Benson is a young player that still has a lot to learn. I think Lindy likes Zach Benson and will give him like plenty of opportunities. Mm-hmm. But to me, that's like, if I'm Zach Benson and I'm working hard, and all of a sudden Quinn gets the puck in the high slot and shoots it, and it's off the glass and around, and then I got a back check. Like, maybe Benson's the kind of guy that goes over and, hey, Quinny, hit the net. I'm there. Like, I'm going to be there. You know me. I'm going to be there. Hit the net. Like, that has to happen as well for, you know, that line. And so, yeah, Benson, it's great. He brings the energy. I'm looking at Cousins and Quinn and says, you, unfortunately, have to lead that line and have to be way better.
Boston, Toronto is one of the other 11 games tonight. No Matthews for Toronto. Upper body injury day to day. St. Louis is hosting Tampa. St. Louis is down Broberg now for the next 4-6.
4-6, yeah.
Which is really unfortunate based on how great a start he had for St. Louis. Utah is the team that has the toughest task tonight as they take on the Jets in Winnipeg. Of course, the Washington Capitals have, kind of carved themselves out as a nice early season story. They are idle this evening, mm-hmm. but they are sitting there with 16 points at 8-3 through the first 11. Are they the? How would you describe them in the context of all teams in the NHL so far this year?
Surprise.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Even after last year's playoff appearance?
Last year, because everybody agreed last year they were the worst team of the playoff
right.
teams. So, I mean, it's good for you. You made the playoffs. You were minus 31 and you got out in the first round. Whoop-de-doo, right? But I really...
Well, I would never say it that way. You go right ahead.
You can radio me if you want. Put it out there on the billboard. Like, you know.
The day I say whoop-de-doo to a playoff appearance is the day you and I probably aren't working
together.
I get
that. You know what? That's a fair point. But I really have enjoyed what Spencer Carberry has done mm-hmm. with the Washington Capitals. Even when he moved Ovechkin to the right wing. Like, why are you moving Ovechkin to the right wing? He's a left winger. Like, this is a guy that's chasing Gretzky's record. He needs to score goals. And it took him a few games to get comfortable, mm-hmm. but he still finds himself to the left side and still scores from wherever on the ice.
Yeah.
And Alexi Protas has played really well. Dylan Strome's having a fantastic season mm-hmm. so far. Wilson's looking good. Like, there's a lot that are working in Washington, but I'm very surprised because when T.J. Oshie went down and no Backstrom, and no, I'm like, they're not going to be the same thing. This is going to be, if Ovechkin gets to the Gretzky record, mm-hmm. it's not this year. It may be later in next year. And now we're starting to think, like, hey, it's possible that he gets to 42 goals this year. He needs 35 more.
Right.
He scored every other game in the second half of last season. He had 6 and 35 or whatever.
Yeah.
And then he scored a goal every other game. So he could get it done.
Definitely could. Is there any other significant story around the NHL that you want to get off your chest? Obviously, the Matthews one is big. Colorado's getting healthier. Nichushkin.
Practicing.
Who was the other one? Lekkonen and Drouin. Like, they're all starting to trickle into the picture for them, which is a pretty significant turn of events. There has still been some you know, shaky goaltending at times around the league, but
Columbus is interesting to me because they look so good in a win, a shutout win by Elvis Merzlikins, and then they have a couple of games that have gone nowhere. Now they got the San Jose Sharks. Mm-hmm. Macklin Celebrini, the number one overall pick last year at Sphere in Vegas for the San Jose Sharks, played one game and then, you know, missed a few of them with an injury. He's coming back, so that's interesting when you look at the Sharks. But can Columbus get themselves back on a little bit of a roll here with Dean Evason and as the coach there and pushing the team to achieve things that I didn't think they would achieve in the early going of the season?
It's a tough weekend for my narrative,
which is the home home team.
Consecutive Saturdays, the road team has gotten blasted hard, and which is really bad on a heavy night of games. Last night, I was celebrating mildly because the road teams won both games 3-0. Yeah. But there's a long way to make up now. The home teams are at 581 points percentage. The roads
which
at 513.
Which is fine. So. It's what it should be roughly, but it's gonna fluctuate. Interesting. Look, the Oilers, they win a couple without McDavid. Mm-hmm. Now they lose last night 3-0.
Yeah.
A really, really interesting, I don't want to call it game, but man, as the Oilers penalty kill, so bad.
Yeah.
So bad. Again, they've given, they're 60% on the season on the penalty kill. I know Buffalo's penalty kill is not that much better, but the Oilers' penalty kill has been so bad.
Back after this to wrap up Sabres Live on a game night. Stay with us.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Make it a good one, Marty. We got a minute to go. Sabres have lineup changes. They get Ottawa tonight.
Okay, well, special teams number one on my list of, beating the Ottawa Senators. They're 0-for-8 in the last two games on the power play, but are third in the league with over 33% on the power play is Ottawa. So you got to shut that down. Your penalty kill is going to be big. And, you know, got new guys coming into the lineup. Benson is expected to play, in my opinion. You're going to look at Dennis Gilbert probably in the lineup. Clifton coming back in the lineup. There's guys that are not just looking at the team's dynamic, but your individual dynamic within the team and where do you fit and trying to stay in the lineup. So a lot to be played for in this game against Ottawa tonight as a team and individually.
And obviously the expectation is Luukkonen versus Ullmark in the Battle of the Crease.
Yeah, well, you know what? Linus Ullmark's a good goalie. Luukkonen's a good goalie. But for me, it comes down to getting guys in front of Ullmark, getting to rebounds, screens, hit the net, especially on long-range shots so you can create some chaos.
Buffalo's player of the game will be blank.
Alex Tuck.
All right. We'll see you again at 6:30 for pregame coverage on MSG.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com. It's
better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.